Tonight I want to speak to you about the fact that God cares. That's my title tonight, God Cares. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God cares.
God cares.
Okay, turn to your other neighbor and say, God cares.
God cares.
Amen. God cares tonight. He cares about you. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, it's a psalm of David. Wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that God has just been speaking to my heart about over the years as I've walked with him over the past 23 years. He's at different times he's spoken to me through this psalm and ministered to my heart through this psalm and has really encouraged me through some of the things that David has gone through and things that he expresses in this psalm. David gets a revelation of God. He gets a revelation of the fact that God cares. And so tonight I want to touch on that as for a moment as we look at David's life and how things are progressing in his life. David is now finally able to rest. He is now king. His life, things, the will and plan of God is progressing in his life. The call of God is moving forward in his life. For years, David was on the run from a madman who was actually the king at the time, a man named Saul, who had become demon-possessed and was looking to kill him because he was jealous of the hand of the Lord that was on this young man's life. And so now David becomes king. He no longer has to run for his life. And it's a wonderful time in his life. The whole nation, both Judah, his people, the tribe that he was a part of, and Israel have now all come together under his leadership. And it's an incredible time in the history of Israel with this godly man that has come to the throne for God and to lead God's people. And I was thinking this past week what it would be like to be king. Imagine what it would be like to be king. You ever thought about that? What it would be like to be absolutely on top of the world, to be able to have anything the way you want it, to have things your way, to have everything working out, to have everything under your command, under your leadership. All you have to do is speak a word and it just begins to happen. You snap your fingers and people run here, people run there. And I was just thinking about that. And so it must have been an incredible time in his life. Finally, the word that God has spoken to him, that the prophet Samuel had prophesied over his life, has now come to pass. And he is now in flowing in God's plan. And things are moving forward. Things are progressing very nicely in his life. I could imagine just the way he must have felt. Everything was going just fine. And then all of a sudden, an attack. All of a sudden, a battle. A difficult situation just comes out of nowhere. Have you ever experienced that? Your life was just going so well. Everything seemed to be just going so well. You're just having a great week or a great month or seemingly a great year. And then all of a sudden, just like that, an attack or a battle or a struggle or a difficulty. It could be something you never saw coming, and all of a sudden, it's right there. It's in your face, and you're having to face this thing. You didn't anticipate it. You weren't expecting it, and things were going smoothly, and then all of a sudden, this thing happens. This difficulty seems to come out of nowhere. I was imagining how he must have felt at that particular time. He's thinking, man, God's plan for my life is just, oh man, it's just great. The way things are happening right now, the plan of God is being fulfilled. I'm in the call of God. I'm in the way. And then all of a sudden, here comes this attack. The Bible tells us that the Philistines, who tonight I want to liken as a type of the flesh, all of a sudden rise up and come against David and the kingdom of Israel. They surmount their forces and they hear that David is king, and now they make a choice to come against him at this particular time to come and seek him, the Bible tells us. And the Philistines tonight, as we look at it as a type of the flesh, it's always there. Amen? It's always there. It's that battle, that struggle that's ever present. You and I are ever having to see this thing, this flesh. It has to be brought under subjection. The Bible calls it the carnal nature, the fleshly nature, the old man, the natural man, are different terms the Bible uses to describe the flesh. It's that that lust that all of a sudden seems to just rise up out of nowhere. That innate passion. It's that anger that flares up. Are you with me tonight? It's that attitude that seems to just come out of nowhere, that just seems to rise up when just somebody pushes your button. Somebody gets on your last nerve. Somebody just annoys you. It's that attitude that just comes out of nowhere. Oh, come on now. It's that attitude. It's that anger. It's that desire for rebellion. It's that desire to rebel. All of a sudden you start getting, your mind starts being flooded with thoughts of rebellion. You're thinking, where in the world is this coming from? It's that unforgiveness that wants to find a place, a lodging place in your heart when someone has offended you. It's that fear that all of a sudden just comes upon you. Those insecurities, those things that just rise up from within. It's that self-life, if you will, the will of self that wants to just dominate you. It's the desires of the old man, that ambition, the personal dreams, the pursuits, personal pursuits, the way we spend our time, etc., etc. And I began to think about these things because these are various things that I find rising up at times, wanting to rise up, and even in my own heart. And some of which may not necessarily be bad, but when they become our chief pursuit, are you with me? When they become our chief focus, when they become that very thing that we're pursuing with all our might, all our heart, that it becomes that thing that stands in the way of God's calling to us, or what he's wanting to do through our lives, then, my friend, it is bad. It's an enemy. When it's standing in the way of what God wants to do in your life and mine, that thing is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's an enemy. I think of tonight, the young man who maybe because of, hormonal distribution seems maybe just a little bit effeminate than other guys. And all of a sudden now the devil wants to put the label on him, and the world wants to put the label on him that you're a homosexual. This is who you are. This is the way God made you. Or I think of the young lady who all of a sudden she feels lonely. This loneliness just rises up within her. This single young lady, this loneliness just rises up within her, and she's at work, and all of a sudden this cute guy starts paying attention to her. He dresses so well. He smells good when he walks by. All the other girls in the office are just checking him out and saying, man, he is so hot. And he seems to be paying attention to you, and everybody's telling you, oh, go for it, go for it, go for it. But there's only one problem. You're a Christian, and he's not. What do you do when these things begin to happen? What do you do when that flesh rises up, and all of a sudden you feel your heart wanting to go after this thing? The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of the heart flow the issues of life. I mean, what do you do when this begins to happen? What do you do when these battles begin to flare up? I think of the young lady who, because of maybe despair, his mind is all of a sudden bombarded with thoughts of worthlessness and thoughts that maybe you should just take your life. Maybe you should just end it all. What do you do when these things come against you? What did David do? The Bible says simply he began to look to the Lord. He began to look to the Lord. David realized that the battle was the Lord's. Hallelujah. He was not going to try to work it out in his own strength. He chose not to lean on his own understanding. The Bible says he just began to cry out to God in the midst of his situation. Do you know, right in the middle of that temptation, you can lift your voice to God. Hallelujah. You can cry out to him and ask him to help. Hallelujah. David began to lift his voice to God right in the middle of the battle. Right in the middle of his struggle. Right in the middle of that situation that seemed to come out of nowhere. He raises his voice to God and he says, help! God, help me. Why? Why did David do that? David understood some things about the Lord. He understood some things about God. See, he had gotten to know the Lord before he became king. God had introduced himself to David. God had spoken to him. And so David began to know who this God is. He began to understand some things about God, who he is, his attributes, his character. For example, he understood that God is omnipresent. That's a big word, omnipresent. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that God is there. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. All at once. You can't go anywhere and God not be there. You can't outrun God. Everywhere you go, he's there. Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. In other words, if I find myself in the darkest place, the darkest place in my soul even, the deepest, darkest struggle I've ever been in, God, you're there. God, you're there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know tonight, God is in Jamaica? How many from Jamaica here tonight? Represent. How many from Puerto Rico tonight? Puerto Rico in the house. How many Nigerians in the house? Nigeria in the house. Praise the Lord. Huh? Anybody here from Finland? Oh, praise the Lord. We got some Finnish people in here. Surprised you, didn't I? Praise God. How many from, anybody here from Papua New Guinea? You guys are like, Papua New Guinea? What are you talking about, Pastor? Don't worry about it. If you ain't from there, God's there. Just trust me. God's there. Anybody from the Dominican Republic? Praise God. God is there. Amen? But you know, he's not only there. God's in the Bronx. He's in Brooklyn. He's in Queens. He's in Manhattan. He's even in Staten Island tonight. He's in New Jersey. God is everywhere. But let's make it more personal tonight. Do you know he's in your neighborhood? He's on your block. He's in your house. As a matter of fact, he's even in your room. He's there when you go to work. He's there when you go to school. And if you're living for Jesus, he lives inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. David understood that. He understood that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But not only that, David understood that God is omniscient. What does that mean? Another big word, omniscient. Means that God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about every philosopher you will ever read about in school, every scientist, every science book, every biologist, everything. God knew them when they were in their diapers. He knew everything about them. And the stuff they write, as foolish as some of it may be, God's not least taken back by it. Because he is still on the throne. He's not threatened by it. God knows everything. He knows everything about you and I. Hallelujah. God knows and he cares about us. He knows us very well. He knows very well what is happening in our lives. Verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Verse 2, you know when I sit down or stand up. You know every thought when far away. Verse 3, you chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. Verse 4, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. God knows everything. Everything about you. Everything about me tonight. Hallelujah. He thinks about us all the time. Verse 17 and 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Imagine just taking a pinch with two fingers of just sand and going like this in your hand, just that pinch, and trying to count every grain in your hand, just the grains that are in your hand. Imagine trying to do that. And the Bible says that you are so on God's mind that more than the grains of sand on the seashores, he thinks about you. That's the sand in Jones Beach, Orchard Beach, Jersey Shore, California beaches, beaches in the Caribbean, beaches in the Middle East. Isn't that amazing? That he thinks about you and I so much more that you can't even number his thoughts concerning you. Amazing. Bible tells us he goes before us and watches our back. Verse 5. You both proceed and follow me. Hallelujah. He goes before you. He knows the future. He knows your future. And he goes before you and he makes a way. He prepares a way for you and I. But not only that, he is our rear guard. He watches our back. Nothing catches him by surprise. Do you think this battle David faced caught him by surprise? Do you think the stuff that you face catches God by surprise? No. He knows it all. And yet he's made a way. I said he's made a way. I said he's made a way. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. Tonight you can give all your worries and concerns to him. Because he cares for you. David understood that. He understood that God loved him. And as a result, that understanding produced something in David. It began to stir up a love in David's heart towards God. And so David began to walk with God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Amen? So that love in David's heart was stirred up by the love that God first began to show him. Sometimes you might think, maybe if you're here for the first time, maybe a friend invited you and you're thinking, man, why do these people love Jesus so much? Or why is my friend a Jesus freak? It's because he's loved them so much that love that he has shown them has produced in them a love towards him. Can I get a witness tonight? So David walks with God. His heart cry was that the Lord would lead him. And you see that here in verse 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you." In other words, any way, wicked way in me, the King James says. Any way that would cause pain. That's the original language. Any way that I would take that would cause pain, or any way that I might have taken already that has caused pain. David's heart cry was, "God, point it out to me. Search my heart from top to bottom. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in that path of blessing, the path that you have blessed, the way everlasting." As a matter of fact, the way everlasting, when you begin to think about it, is that path of blessing. It's the way, it's the path that coincides with the eternal word of God that never passes away. It's that path that coincides with the eternal word of God that never passes away. It's the way of his commandments. The scriptures tell us it's the promises of God that abide forever. David was saying, "God, lead me in the way of your commandments. Lead me according to your promises. Don't let my emotions, don't let the things I face, don't let what seems to be the present reality dictate my life. But God, lead me in your word. Lead me according to your promises. Let your promises become the reality, because everything else is going to pass away. But your word, oh God, abides forever. Lead me in the way everlasting." You see, David wanted nothing to do with darkness, nothing to do with evil. Not even the evil that rose, not even the evil that rose, the evil that rose from without, or the evil that would rise from within. He wanted nothing to do with it. So David began to call on the Lord. He sought God. He asked God for help. What do? When something rises up in your life, what do? Do you call on God in the middle of that situation? If you haven't, you ought to try it. You could be at school, and all these gangs have formed in your school, and everybody's got a posse, everybody's got a gang, everybody's got somebody they're rolling with, and all of a sudden you feel alone and you're feeling this pressure just for protection. The temptation, the pressure, the peer pressure. What do when you feel that? To try and fit in, to join a gang. What do? David called on the Lord. And you know what happened? When he called on God, God spoke to him. I said, God spoke to him. God begins to speak to this man. The word of the Lord comes to him right in the middle of his situation. Do you know when you read your Bible, when you're having your devotions, you are making a deposit, if you will, in the bank? You're making a deposit in a spiritual bank. When you're reading his word, when you're sitting in the house of God, when you're worshiping, when you're at home and you're listening to worship music, or in your car, or you got your headphones on the train, you're making a deposit, see? And you know what happens when you make a deposit? What happens? What happens? There's something to draw from, right? You can put your card in, take it out, type your little code in, put some numbers in, and you get some moolah, right? Some money. Why? Because something's been deposited. Amen? Well, you know, when you have your devotions, you're making a deposit. And so what happens? God begins to speak to him. And how will God begin to speak to you? He'll begin to all of a sudden bring to your remembrance some promises you read in the book, some scriptures you read. So right in the middle of your difficulty, right in the middle of your situation, right in the middle of his situation, God begins to speak to this man. The word of the Lord comes to him. And David took that word and ran with it. I said he ran with it. In other words, he believed the word of God. He believed what God had spoken to him. The word that God spoke to him at that particular moment, he believed it. He believed God's promise. And as a result, he got the victory. He triumphed over his enemies. Tonight, I think of a young lady whose testimony I was reading just today. She said, before I was a Christian, throughout my childhood, my older cousins, multiple cousins, molested me. She said, I was teased also at school. She said, I was raised a Catholic and I felt trapped. It wasn't doing anything for me. She said, my first boyfriend when I was 16 raped me. I was so ashamed. I cried myself to sleep. She had no one to talk to. She said, my heart grew very cold and hard. She said, though at a young age, I could feel the Lord's call on my life. She said, I remember one night lying in bed after reading my Catholic Bible and praying my rosary. She said, I felt this hunger on the inside. I wanted more. She said, this was long before I even knew what the sinner's prayer was or what it meant to be born again. No one had ever spoken to her. She said, that night I lifted my hands and I prayed a simple prayer. She said, I prayed this. God, I'm sorry. I want my life to be led by you. Whatever you want to do with my life, it's yours. It's yours. Take my life, whatever you want to do with it. She went on to write that I went to college, and while I was in college, those were some of the darkest days in my life. She said, though I had a friend, and that friend brought me to Times Square Church. She said, that Sunday, all my battling stopped there in my seat. She said, this is where that voice I had heard calling me as a child began to call me again. She said, I literally ran to the altar with all the raw shame and baggage in tow. She says, I returned to my apartment that afternoon, a new creation. I mean a new creation, she stresses. She says, I freaked my three roommates out. The swearing stopped. The drinking stopped. The crass talking stopped. Everything that flowed out of my mouth and actions was joy from the Lord. Hallelujah. She said, I could hear the Lord's voice again. I could feel his leading. I had hope. Today, the Lord has given me back everything the devil took from me and some. Do you know God will do that? He will restore to you the years, the Bible says, that have been stolen from you. God will restore. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know what God did for this young lady? He will do the same for you. If you call on him, if you seek him, if you ask him to help you, right in the midst of your battle, your struggle, God will come through. He will not fail you if you trust him. Right in the middle of that temptation, If you begin to call on his name, God will be there. He's everywhere. God will strengthen you. He'll begin to remind you of the promises in his word. Hallelujah. Promises that will see you through right to the very end. And you'll begin to walk in the victory that Christ has already given you. I want to show you one of these promises tonight as we close. Romans chapter 8. Very familiar passage to some here tonight. Romans chapter 8. In closing, I want our worship team, our youth band to come, worship leader to come tonight, even as we close out tonight. Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage. Starting with verse 31. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? The Apostle Paul writes. If God is for us, who can be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has given us the right standing with himself. Hallelujah. Who then condemns us? Will Christ Jesus? No. Some of you who think God is looking at you and he's got a bat ready to beat you down because of all the stuff you've done. Those of you who've come in tonight thinking God is mad at you. The Bible says, who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us. I said he died for us. Hallelujah. And was raised to life for us. And is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or are cold or in danger or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Hallelujah. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, angels can't, demons can't. Our fears today or our worries about tomorrow or even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away, whether we are high in the sky or in the deepest ocean. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. God cares. God cares. Tonight, if you're in a struggle, you're in a battle, this is your night. If you feel like the waters are overwhelming you, if you feel overwhelmed tonight, because of that personal struggle, that personal battle, that secret difficulty that no one else knows about, God knows. And tonight, he's come to deliver you. I want to invite you to stand in a moment, to get out of your seat and run to this altar. In the name of Jesus, tonight's your night of freedom. If you're here tonight and maybe you've never been in a church like this, you've never been in a place like this, but you say, Pastor, I heard God tonight. I know he's been speaking to me. I know he's called me tonight. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to invite you to get out of your seat as well and come to the front of this church, and we're going to pray tonight. I don't care what religious background you've had or maybe never had. God loves you. He died for you. And tonight is your night for a miracle. Let's stand all over this house. But I want to pray with the rest that have responded tonight. I want to just simple prayer for you tonight. You know he cares. All you have to do is say, God, I give this battle to you. This struggle is yours. All you have to do is trust him tonight. And you will find a supernatural infusion of strength to say no to the devil and yes to God. A supernatural infusion to face whatever difficulty, whatever trial, whatever despair, so that you don't go under and drown. The Bible says he is a rock that is higher than we are. And he will lift you above the flood tonight. He is the king above the flood tonight. And so I want to pray for you simply tonight. Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have responded to you tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you know everything that concerns them. Every battle, every struggle, you are there. You are the fourth man in the fire. You are there in the trial with them. Nothing has caught you by surprise. And so, God, I have to believe tonight the word of God that says your grace is sufficient. God, your word says where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. So, God, there is sufficient grace to take them through, not to take them through cowering, not to take them through whimpering, but to take them through victoriously to the glory and the honor of our King. And so, Father, tonight we give you praise. We give you thanks. God, we put our faith in your word. And God, we say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, give him praise tonight. If you believe his report, give him praise tonight. Give him praise tonight. Give him praise tonight.